A word of prayer. Father God, we do ask that you speak into our hearts now. Please change us where we need changing and make us more excited and longing in expectation for the return of Jesus. Amen. So today we're starting a short series looking at Matthew chapter 25. And as I say, the reason we're looking at this chapter is because it's all about the return of Jesus. We're in the season of Advent, and as we've seen in our video earlier, Advent is all about looking for the coming of Christ. Advent is a season where we first of all look forward to Christmas, as we saw in the video. We celebrate his first coming. Secondly, Advent is a time when we can think about the second coming of Jesus, which is what we're doing today. And finally, Advent is also thinking about Jesus coming into our hearts, which is a very appropriate response as we reflect upon his first and second comings. Today we're thinking about this fascinating story Jesus told about the 10 bridesmaids. I think that's the best way to think of them, as bridesmaids. It is a parable, a picture story to help us understand what the return of Jesus will be like. And perhaps the first thing we need to soak up from this parable is that as Christians, the return of Jesus should make us excited. The picture is that of a wedding banquet. It's my great privilege here at St. John's to conduct wedding services. And I really love the rehearsals a couple of days beforehand because the excitement is so contagious. There's a lot of laughter, there's a lot of giggles, but you can taste the eager anticipation of the bride and the groom, the best man and the bridesmaids. They're looking forward to a wonderful day of celebration. Not only a special service, but a wedding banquet to follow. The prospect of Jesus returning should fill us with that sort of excitement. Why should we be so excited? Well, as we heard last week, Jesus is the King. And when he returns, well, he's going to sort out this messy world. And boy, does it need sorting out. We only have to watch the news over the last few weeks to know that. And when Jesus returns, he will bring in a golden age that will last for eternity. Justice will be done. Pain, grief, and suffering will be swept away. It's going to be wonderful, hence this picture of a banquet. Best of all, you and I have been invited to that banquet. We've been invited to the great party. Now, is that exciting or what? It excites me. In terms of this parable, we're invited to be bridesmaids. Now, I'm sorry, fellas, but that includes you this morning. But don't worry, you don't have to dress the part. But we're all invited to be bridesmaids. And the role of the bridesmaids in the first century, well, it was to wait for the coming of the bridegroom and escort him into the great banquet. And I think that is awesome. We are awaiting the return of Jesus, and he calls us to be his bridesmaids. He wants us to escort him into the great banquet as he takes his seat at the head of it. But what are we going to do with these wonderful invitations to be his bridesmaids? It's a sad fact that many people in England say they're not interested. Some even just tear up the invitations and say, well, how preposterous. A bridegroom doesn't even exist, they say. They won't turn up at all, but the sad outcome is they will miss out on the party. Unfortunately, so many people in the church today have bought into this lie that there's no God, or that Jesus is not coming back. It's therefore our job as disciples of Jesus Christ, our job as the church, to lovingly convince them otherwise. After all, God created them to be part of his kingdom. He wants them to be bridesmaids. He wants them to be included. He invites everybody. So it's up to us really to show our friends and our neighbours that God is real after all. And that he would love them to come to his wedding banquet. To miss out is awful. It's to face eternal death. But to accept is to be in the party and have eternal life. However, I don't want to dwell on the people who don't show any interest at all, because that's not actually what this parable is about. That's more to do with what chapter 24 talks about. This particular story is interesting. What is intriguing in this story of the bridesmaids? Well, it's the nature of those who do turn up. It's about 10 bridesmaids who do all turn up, who do all dress the part. However, some turn up fully prepared, with both lamps and oil, and others, for some reason, turn up with their lamps, but they have left the oil behind. I just want to just think actually how ludicrous it is. It is a crazy picture. Foolish bridesmaids. They've got their lighting equipment, but no fuel. Imagine somebody going potholing. He goes with his torch, but no batteries. It's crazy. Or talking of oil, as you know, I used to work for Texaco. When we sent out our petrol tankers to the service stations, you can bet your bottom dollar that they were filled with petrol. Can you imagine the crazy story of 10 lorry drivers? 5 filled their petrol tankers up with fuel and 5 didn't, and they all went out to the service stations. It's a crazy picture. But that is what these 5 foolish bridesmaids forget to do. They turn up ready to greet the bridegroom, but they've got no oil. Now, a casual passerby would have looked over, and what would they have seen? They would have seen 10 bridesmaids all waiting. But appearances can be deceptive. 5 of those who appear to be waiting, well, they are waiting, they're ready. And 5 who appear to be waiting are actually not properly ready. And I think that's one of the dangers we see. We've got 4 dangers that we see in this passage. And the first one is relying on outward appearances. I remember looking at this passage closely when I was going to preach it in Canary Wharf about 12, 13 years ago. And somebody was helping me look through it and think about it, a chap called Paul. And he helped me to think about this strange idea that some people would, to all intents and purposes, be ready outwardly, but inwardly they weren't. He said to me, Peter, some people look like they're ready to meet Jesus. They give the appearance of being Christians who long to meet Jesus, but actually they're not properly prepared. He then challenged me and says, I wonder, is there anybody in our churches who are like this, who need our help? They think they're ready because they're holding their lamps, but they don't realise they've got no oil. So they're not truly ready. And they're in great danger of missing out on the banquet. And he went on, saying, look, the thing is, it's easy to look like a Christian, to come to church, even to sit on a PCC, to come to the prayer meeting. But just as you cannot tell if a petrol tanker from the outside is full of petrol or not, the same is true of people. But it's what is inside that makes the difference, the oil. That which sets our hearts on fire for the love of Jesus. Jesus says we need to give our whole lives over to him, not just the outer shell. He wants our allegiance, not just mere acknowledgement. Well, are we fully prepared to meet our God? That's a challenge we all need to think about. Danger one, then, is relying on outward appearances. God does not look at outward appearances. God looks at the heart. Let's move on to the second danger. Danger number two is to let the delay deceive us into thinking we've got plenty of time to get ready later. Relying on there being time to get ready later. Because the next part of the parable tells us that the bridegroom is a long time coming. So the girls wait and they wait and they wait a bit longer. Then one by one, their eyelids get heavy, they fall asleep. And then look at verse 6. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." The girls begin to panic in verse 7. They start to light their lights, but they say, "We've got no oil." Well, five don't panic. Five do have their oil. It's the foolish ones who panic. And they beg the other girls, "Look, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." But the reply in verse 9, "We can't do that. There's not enough oil to go round." The foolish girls are not ready. They have to run off, buy some oil. But in their absence, the bridegroom arrives. He enters in with the wise bridesmaids and the door is shut. Verse 11. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Let's face it, Jesus is a long time coming back, isn't he? And it's easy to think, well, I've got all the time in the world to get ready. But Jesus says it's dangerous to do that. Verse 13 reminds us we must keep watch. We do not know the day or the hour. Yes, Jesus has been delayed so far, but that's no excuse to be wasteful with our supply of oil now. No, we need to continue waiting with our full supply of oil at the ready. It is so easy to let the delay deceive us into thinking we've got plenty of time. It's so easy to think, well, I'll get round to addressing my lack of oil issue sometime soon. Just got the leaky tap to sort out first. And then there's the leaves in the garden. Then there's lunch. But we mustn't let the delay deceive us. You know, the return of Jesus could happen at any moment. I might not even get to the end of this sermon. He might come back this afternoon. Will we be ready for him with both lamp and oil? We need to act now. Time is running out. For ourselves. For our friends. Then there's danger number three. Not taking our own responsibility seriously enough. What happens in verse 8 when the foolish girls realise their error? They say to the wise, "Look, can you give us some of your oil? Our lamps are going out." The problem is there's not enough oil to go around. There is only enough for five lamps. There isn't any to share. Because it's the responsibility for each bridesmaid to bring their own oil. Likewise, it's our own personal responsibility to be ready for the return of Jesus. We can't rely on anyone else. And I know it's easy to think, I'm sure everything will turn out fine in the end, I need not worry. But is that what Jesus is saying here? No. He's saying we do need to take our personal responsibility seriously. When Jesus returns, simply being linked to a church isn't going to help anyone. The rector won't suddenly be able to bail us out. Or coming from a Christian family won't help us. It is our own responsibility to bring our own oil. In the Goodridge household, we like to share responsibilities out. So if one of us is cooking the dinner, most likely the other one will be in the garden mowing the grass or something. But there are some responsibilities you can't pass over to the other partner. I remember an old vicar friend of mine telling me about when he first started in a new parish and he went around knocking on doors to say hi. And often a man would answer. And the man would look and say, "Ho, the new vicar. Darling, it's for you." The idea being, the wife looks after the spiritual needs in this house. But what will Jesus say to that husband when he returns? Mr. So-and-so, where's your oil? Ooh, you'll have to ask the wife. It's her responsibility to sort that out. This parable tells us that that's not the case. It is our own responsibility to be ready for Jesus. And finally, danger number 4 is to rely on Jesus' unconditional acceptance. This comes in verses 11 and 12. When the door has now been shut, the girls have got their oil, they're thumping on the door, but they won't be let in. Now, I've heard many good sermons talk about how Jesus loves us unconditionally. And it is true, Jesus loves us unconditionally. No matter what we have done, we can be forgiven if we seek his face. He loves us so much unconditionally, he sent his son to die for us on a cross. However, the love of God is conditional in the sense that, one, it depends on how we respond to it. Do we accept the invitation? Do we embrace his offer of love and forgiveness? And two, will we respond within the given time limit before it is too late? Jesus calls us to be ready for his return. So we need to give our lives over to him completely now. And we need to encourage our family and our friends to do the same. I think I want to go back to the first point, though, because the return of Jesus is genuinely exciting. Think about it. We're going to see our Lord face to face, and that is wonderful. Jesus is going to fix all that is bad in the world. He will judge evil. He will judge sin. He will bring in the wonderful kingdom in all its fullness, a wedding banquet. He will return one day, and he will lead his followers into it. It will be marvelous. But listen to the warnings too, because some people will not be ready. And I'm sorry if that message upsets you. I know that many people would just like to hear a nice, comfortable message when they come to church. But I would hate to be in the wedding banquet and to hear people knocking on the outside, saying, "We didn't know we were supposed to bring oil. All we ever heard from the rector was, just love, be nice to one another." It's not what Jesus calls me to do as the rector. He calls me to preach his word, and his word says, Jesus is coming back and we need to be ready. We need to welcome him into our hearts. So pray for our friends and family. But it is exciting. It will be a marvellous day when Jesus returns. So maybe we just need to spend a last moment on asking, what is this oil and where do I find it? Well, actually, Jesus will give us the oil himself. He will fill us with his Holy Spirit and enable us to be ready. All we have to do is ask him. Simply pray, "Father, forgive me for all that I've done wrong in the past in Jesus' name, and fill me with the oil of your Holy Spirit." And then we will be ready to meet Jesus. And keep on praying. And stay in the love of Christ until he returns. And enjoy eternity in his amazing new world. Now is the opportunity to get your oil before it's too late. And to ask our friends to get their oil. But at the end of the day, it is our own personal responsibility. But all it takes is a deep prayer to God. Why don't we ask him now to fill us with the oil of his Spirit so that we're ready to meet him on that great day. So Father God, we thank you for that exciting day that Jesus will sort everything out. May we be ready. May we have both lamp and oil. So please fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Excite us by the return of Jesus. Set our hearts on fire for love of him. and give us the motivation to live for him and to tell our friends, our neighbours, those who desperately need to hear this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.